Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we are taking a massive stack of recent medical and tech sources, and we are going to unpack the dawn of what is suddenly looking very much like the cyborg era.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing this entirely for you, because if you've been feeling like the future just, you know, arrived out of nowhere, you are definitely not alone.
It really is a profound shift. I mean, the pace of change over the last couple of years has been staggering. It's easy to feel a bit of whiplash when you read the headlines lately.
Oh, totally. So let's set the scene for where we are right now. It is March 2026, and we are looking back at a massive milestone that happened just a couple of months ago.
Right.
On December 31st, 2025, Elon Musk announced that Neuralink is moving out of the lab and into high-volume production for 2026. Just think about that phrase for a second. High-volume production for a device that literally goes inside a human skull.
Which is precisely why we need to look closer at what that announcement actually contained. This wasn't just a manufacturing update about churning out more computer chips.
No, not at all.
What made that New Year's Eve announcement historic was the other half of the equation. The dawn of nearly fully automated surgery.
Yeah.
That is the pivotal moment here. That is when brain-computer interfaces, or BCIs, transition from being science fiction experiments and highly controlled clinical trials into an imminent mass market reality.
Okay, let's unpack this, because I was looking at the hardware specs in our sources, and they are completely mind-bending.
They really are.
We are talking about the Neuralink N1. The implant itself is about the size of a coin, but the sources say it features exactly 1,024 electrodes.
Right.
But these aren't those chunky metal probes you might picture from old sci-fi movies. These electrodes sit on flexible threads that are just 4 to 6 micrometers thick. How is that even physically possible?
It's almost hard to conceptualize.
To put that in perspective for you listening, that is significantly thinner and more flexible than a single strand of human hair.
It is an absolute engineering marvel, and that thinness is actually the most crucial part of the entire design. We tend to think of the human brain as a solid, stationary object.
Right, like a muscle or something.
Exactly. But it isn't. It's essentially suspended in fluid. It's soft, and it is constantly shifting and moving inside the skull, even when you're just breathing or walking down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Older, rigid electrodes have a major flaw. They actually damage that delicate tissue over time because they don't move with the brain.
So essentially, the older rigid chips were like trying to stick a solid glass rod into a bowl of soft jelly.
That's exactly it.
Every time you bump the table, the jelly shakes and that rigid glass just tears it up. But these new threads are more like cooked spaghetti. They just wiggle right along with the movement.
That is the perfect way to visualize it. Because they are designed to sway and move with the tissue, it drastically reduces inflammation. It allows the implant to last much, much longer inside the body.
Okay, but wait. If these threads are thinner than a hair and as flexible as cooked spaghetti, human hands can't possibly stitch that into a brain, right?
No, absolutely not.
It's too small. You can't just hand a surgeon a pair of tweezers and say, hey, good luck, try not to hit a vein.
And that logistical hurdle is exactly where the R1 robot comes in. Human hands physically cannot perform this specific insertion. You need a highly advanced robotic surgical system to place these threads with micrometer precision.
Completely avoiding delicate blood vessels.
Exactly. Avoiding the vasculature entirely.
Reading the description of the R1, it sounds like a highly caffeinated sewing machine.
It's a very apt comparison, and if we connect this to the bigger picture, the R1 robot is really the key to the entire operation. Think about a top-tier human neurosurgeon.
Great.
On a good day, they might be able to perform one, maybe two, complex brain surgeries. It takes hours of intense concentration.
Right, they get tired.
Exactly. The R1 robot never trembles. It never experiences physical fatigue. It can finish the entire thread insertion in under an hour, and it can perform multiple surgeries day after day without a drop in precision.
It's the ultimate assembly line, but for brain surgery.
Yes.
That is how Neuralink plans to utilize the $650 million in fresh funding they just raised in December 2025.
Mm.
They aren't aiming for a few dozen patients a year anymore.
Not at all.
Our sources show they have set a target of 20,000 annual implants by the year 2031.
You simply cannot reach numbers like that relying on human hands. You need automation at a scale the medical field has rarely seen for something this invasive.
20,000 people walking around with a direct link to the internet in their heads. It's wild to think about.
It really is.
But let's bring this back down to the human level, because right now, real people are already living with this technology. In September 2024, the FDA granted Neuralink breakthrough device status, specifically for speech restoration.
Which is a massive regulatory signal. Breakthrough device status isn't just a gold star, it's practically a fast pass at an amusement park.
Right.
It means the FDA looked at the clinical data and determined this technology has the potential to transform lives so profoundly that they need to expedite its path to market. It shifted Neuralink's perception from being a speculative tech startup to a serious, fast-tracked medical device company.
And the target patients right now fall into three initial groups.
Mm-hmm.
First, quadriplegic patients who use the device to control computers with their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Second, ALS patients. And for those who might not know, ALS is a disease where your brain remains perfectly sharp, but the body's physical connection to it slowly breaks down until you lose all muscle control.
Right.
The goal there is to convert their thoughts directly into speech as they lose their physical ability to talk.
It gives them a voice back when their physical vocal cords can no longer function.
And third, blind patients. The ultimate goal here is to restore vision by bypassing the eyes entirely.
Yeah, this one is incredible.
They want to connect directly to the visual cortex, basically the brain's image processing center at the back of your head, skipping over the broken camera of the eyes.
What's fascinating here is the sheer ambition of those applications. We're not talking about marginal improvements in quality of life or managing a symptom.
Huh.
We are talking about restoring fundamental human capabilities that have been entirely lost to severe trauma or degenerative disease.
And we've seen it happen. Think back to January to 2024. That's when we saw the very first human patient, Noland Arbaugh.
Yes, Nolan.
Noland is a quadriplegic who suffered a devastating spinal cord injury in a diving accident. Before the implant, he had almost no independent way to interact with the computer. Afterward, he gave this amazing interview where he said, and I quote, "This is like a superpower. I can do things that were impossible before."
Wow.
He also said, "I can live again. This is a miracle."
It's hard not to be moved by Nolan's story. It proves the fundamental concept works. But as an expert guide to this material, I think it's critical we look at the hurdles because the process was not flawless.
Right, there was an issue.
A few weeks after Nolan's surgery, some of those ultra-thin threads actually retracted from his brain tissue.
Wait, threads pulling out of the brain? That sounds horrifying.
It was certainly a major medical setback because the system relies on those 1,024 electrodes to gather a complete picture of neural activity. When threads retract, you lose signal quality.
Makes sense.
The device becomes sluggish and less responsive. But here is the truly remarkable part from an engineering standpoint. Neuralink didn't have to go back in and perform another invasive surgery to fix it.
They just pushed the software update, didn't they?
They restored his functionality entirely through software algorithm improvements.
That is insane.
They essentially taught the computer to do more with less data, recognizing patterns even with a compromised hardware connection.
Which proves the incredible adaptability of the system. And they clearly learned from the physical hardware issue because the second patient, Alex, who got his implant in August of 2024, didn't have any of those thread retraction issues.
Right.
Alex is also quadriplegic, but he's using his implant to play video games, do complex 3D design work, and he's even using it to learn Chinese.
That's amazing.
And things are moving so fast that by December 2025, a third patient was implanted, and they're aiming for over 20 patients by the end of this year.
The clinical program is officially off the ground.
It really hits home when you read the quote from Neuralink co-founder DJ Seo.
Yeah.
He said, "We want to give people who have lost the ability to speak their voice back. This isn't just technology, it's a human right."
That quote really anchors the profound medical imperative driving this early stage of development.
It does. It's hard not to be moved by that.
Yeah.
But because it works so well, it's triggered an absolute gold rush.
Oh, definitely.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Neuralink might have the loudest megaphone, but there's an entire shadow industry racing them to the finish line.
What we are seeing now is the birth of an entire brain-computer interface industry. And what's crucial for you to understand as a listener is that different medical applications require entirely different technological approaches.
Mm-hmm.
We're essentially watching a VHS versus Betamax format war unfold, but for human consciousness.
So let's look at the competition. Take Synchron. They are an Australian-American company. And they currently have 10 patients implanted. But their approach completely sidesteps the R1 robot and the open brain surgery.
It's a genius piece of medical engineering. Synchron uses something called a stentrode.
Right.
Instead of drilling into the skull, they insert their device through the jugular vein, much like a cardiologist places a cardiac stent. It travels up the blood vessels until it sits right next to the motor cortex. It is entirely minimally invasive.
No open brain surgery at all.
Mavic,
if you are listening to this on your commute right now, imagine trying to skip to the next deep dive just by thinking about it.
Yeah.
That is what Synchron's vein implant is trying to do. And keeping your skull intact sounds vastly preferable. But there has to be a trade-off.
The trade-off is significant. Because it sits inside a blood vessel rather than directly in the brain tissue, and because of its physical design, it only uses 16 electrodes compared to Neuralink's 1,024.
That is a huge drop.
It is. That means you get a much lower signal resolution. It's the difference between a blurry black and white photograph and a 4K video.
Got it. And then you have a company like BlackRock Neurotech out of Utah. Now, they aren't a new startup. They have decades of experience and have done dozens of clinical trials using something called the Utah Array, which packs 96 to 128 electrodes.
BlackRock has incredible historical data, but the limitation of the traditional Utah Array is exactly what we discussed earlier with the jelly analogy.
The rigidity.
Exactly. They use rigid silicon electrodes. They are essentially a microscopic bed of nails. We know those can cause tissue damage over the long term, though they are actively developing flexible alternatives to stay competitive.
And finally, we have Precision Neuroscience, which was actually founded by one of the original co-founders of Neuralink.
Right.
They use surface electrodes. These just sit gently right on top of the brain without actually penetrating the tissue.
Which is incredibly low risk from a surgical perspective. But again, you are sacrificing resolution because you aren't directly interfacing with the neurons deep in the tissue.
So if you're listening to this and wondering which one is actually best, what's the takeaway?
The takeaway is that there isn't one perfect device. It depends entirely on the patient's need.
Right.
If you need high precision data, say, to orchestrate the complex robotic movements of a prosthetic limb or restore exact vision, you're going to need the deep, high-resolution approach of Neuralink or BlackRock.
Right.
But if a patient just needs simple computer control, like clicking a mouse or typing basic text, Synchron's minimally invasive vein approach is likely the much safer, more practical option.
So what does this all mean for you? We have robots doing automated brain surgery. We have a VHS-style format war between major companies, and the FDA is fast-tracking the tech. Are you ready to connect your brain to the internet?
This raises an important question, and the sources we are looking at dive deep into an absolute ethical minefield.
Yeah, let's get into that.
Our job is to objectively lay out the risks that researchers and neuroethics experts are sounding the alarm over, because they are substantial. Let's walk through the four major existential risks outlined in the data.
Let's start with the one that sounds like a sci-fi horror movie, cybersecurity. We are talking about literal brain hacking.
Researchers have already proven in lab settings that brain-computer interfaces can be hacked. If your brain is connected to a digital network, it is vulnerable.
That's terrifying.
The sources note that hackers could potentially read your incoming neural signals, which is the ultimate breach of privacy. But the architecture could also allow malicious actors to send fake thoughts or sensory inputs directly into a human brain.
Okay, but Neuralink claims they're using end-to-end encryption. The data stays on the user's device.
Yeah, sure, they claim that. And that is the standard corporate line for any new technology. But let's be real. Major government databases get hacked. Financial institutions suffer data breaches every single week.
Good point.
Security experts continually ask whether any digital system is ever truly impenetrable over a long enough timeline. Are we supposed to just blindly trust that a Bluetooth connection to our literal thoughts is the one thing hackers can't crack?
That is a terrifyingly valid point, which leads right into the second major risk, privacy. Even without malicious hackers in the picture, who gets your brain data on a normal Tuesday?
Right. I want you to imagine a scenario where your employer has access to your cognitive data.
Oh, boy.
Your boss could look at a dashboard and know your exact stress levels or focus metrics in real time during a meeting.
That is so invasive.
Or imagine your health insurance company detecting a neurological biomarker that suggests a high risk for clinical depression and suddenly altering your rates before you've even exhibited a single physical symptom.
Having your boss literally check if you are paying attention to their presentation is deeply dystopian.
It really is.
Risk number three is social inequality. Right now, this is purely for people with severe medical needs. But eventually, this tech could create a brand new class divide.
The research outlines a very real concern about a societal split between enhanced humans who can afford these BCIs and normal humans who cannot. If a BCI allows someone to process information faster, access the internet instantly, or interact with digital systems at the speed of thought, the economic advantages in the workplace would be absolutely insurmountable.
And finally, risk number 4, identity. This one gets super philosophical.
It does.
If part of your brain is essentially a machine learning algorithm, are you still you? If the device is helping you remember things, can you even trust your own memories?
It profoundly blurs the line of human consciousness. Dr. Raphael Yuste, a prominent neuroscientist from Columbia University, sums up the urgency of these 4 points perfectly.
What did he say?
He states, we need to talk about brain-computer interface ethics before it's too late. This technology can save lives or destroy them.
And we are reporting that strictly as it's presented in the research. We aren't taking a side here.
Absolutely.
The potential for immense medical good is undeniable, but the societal risks are completely unprecedented.
And those risks become exponentially more complex when we cross the line from treating medical conditions to upgrading completely healthy individuals.
Yes. Because that is the ultimate destination here. We have to talk about the future.
Right.
Elon Musk has explicitly stated that his ultimate goal for Neuralink isn't just medical. It's achieving symbiosis with artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
He argues that humans have to merge with AI so we don't get left behind as a species.
Which takes us out of the realm of therapy and firmly into the realm of human enhancement.
The scenarios listed in our sources are mind-bending, and they are rapidly becoming actual engineering goals. We're talking about downloading a new language into your brain in seconds, the way you download an app to your phone.
It's incredible.
I could finally pass high school Spanish. We're talking about telepathic brain-to-brain communication where you can share complex ideas and emotions with someone else without ever opening your mouth.
Or having perfect machine-assisted memory recall. Imagine never forgetting a name, a face, or a piece of data you read 10 years ago.
Wow.
Or having your cognitive processing speed artificially boosted so you can solve complex mathematical or logistical problems effortlessly.
It sounds incredible, but the societal impact is the great unknown. Our sources highlight two very different views on what happens when this goes mainstream.
Right. On one hand, you have experts warning of a brutal Darwinian arms race, countries, corporations, and individuals desperately trying to outcompete each other by buying the latest cognitive upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't upgrade, you become economically obsolete.
But on the other hand, some sources argue this could usher in a highly empathetic, brilliant new era for humanity.
Yes, the optimistic view.
If we can truly understand each other's thoughts and emotions telepathically, bypassing the clumsiness of language, perhaps human conflict decreases. If we are all vastly more intelligent, maybe we finally solve climate change or resource scarcity.
It is the ultimate double-edged sword. Dr. Nita Farahany, a leading neuroethics expert, is quoted in the material saying, "We're on the verge of the biggest transformation in human history. The question isn't whether this will happen. The question is how we manage it."
And that brings us to the reality of today. The line between human and machine isn't just blurring. It is actively being rewritten by robotic surgeons.
That's the truth.
With high-volume mass production announced for 2026, $650 million in the bank, FDA breakthrough status, and an entire industry of highly funded competitors racing right alongside them, the cyborg era is no longer a movie plot. It is the reality of the world you are waking up to right now.
As we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over, building on our discussion about cybersecurity and human enhancement.
Okay.
We talked about Neuralink storing data locally and the wild future of upgrading healthy humans. But I get you to imagine a future where your ability to speak, your enhanced intelligence, or your most precious digitally downloaded memories are intimately tied to a specific corporate operating system running inside your head.
Oh, wow.
What happens to you as an individual if that company goes bankrupt, gets bought out by a hostile competitor, or simply decides to stop providing software updates for the hardware in your brain?
That is an incredibly heavy and necessary question to end on. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. Keep questioning the rapidly changing world around you. Keep learning, and we will catch you next time as we unpack the next big leap forward.